I want us to just, and I'm going to get the men out of my mouth from my throat so I don't mumble, because I don't want to mumble. I want to say it very, very clearly. We're a people that are blessed on every side. We have issues in America. We have issues in our life. And I look at people that are going through things, and there are things you can shelve. There's things you can run from. There's things you can just get away from. But there are things that you can't get away from. And the things you can't get away from are things that you are tied to in a way. You can't do what David thought about doing, but he knew he couldn't do it either. But he said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, that I would fly away to the wilderness and be at rest. And I would hasten my escape. I wouldn't spend one more minute in my trial. I wouldn't spend one more minute under this pressure. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." If you want to know why people are on drugs tonight, it's because they're trying to escape the windy storm and tempest. The Bible said the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. "There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked." Now here's the problem. We as Christians, if we don't trust God, and I don't mean just mouth those words, I mean give it to God. Give them to God. Give whatever it is, people, things, to God. We can fall into that profile. We can be just like that. And we can just be wanting, you know, God to just fix it instead of fix us. And you know what the Lord would love to do? Because He can't take you out of a fallen world like this. The only way He can get you out of all the pressure of the fallen world is to let you go to sleep in Him, take you to heaven right now. And I know some of you probably wish for that too. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the pressure got so big and so bad that you know what the writer of Ecclesiastes said? He said the dead are better than the living. The dead ain't got the pressure that the living man has. If you're dead in the Lord especially. You think, well, that he didn't know about the Holy Ghost, the revelation of Jesus. He didn't have what we have. Well, Paul had everything we have. And Paul said, "I would not have you to be ignorant of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure." That means beyond our emotional ability to stand up under it. We despaired, him and the disciples, we despaired of life itself. He said, but we learned something, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in Christ who raises the dead. Amen? And if you're trusting yourself to bear up under the load is going to break you. That's why tropical countries don't have a whole lot of hardwood trees. You won't find pine trees in the Bahamas. Amen. You won't find oak trees in Jamaica and Haiti. You're going to find trees that are designed to bend with the wind, not break under the strain. Can you say amen? The most devastating to the forest is when a hurricane hits the Carolinas. And I don't just mean the coast, but it's strong enough to come in and sweep into where those hardwood trees are, because they don't bend. You know what happens when they don't bend under 115-mile-an-hour gust? They break. But palm trees survive. Unless they're just uprooted, they survive. And the way they survive is because they are designed to bend. Sometimes you'll see them in a heavy wind just bent like that. But when the wind is over, they're still standing. The idea in the Christian life is not to never have the winds of pressure come, but to be able to bend with it, trusting God. Amen. And when the wind has blown out, you're still standing. And that is Christian victory. It's not never coming under those heavy winds of pressure. It's not breaking when they come. And David said, "Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, then I would fly away to the wilderness and be at rest and hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. But as for me, I will trust in the Lord." I will trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. I am here for you, saith the Lord. But if you don't cast your burden upon me, you will break under the load. And I am here to take the load from thee. You will bend because you are but flesh, but you will not break because I will sustain you. Yea, I will sustain you in the inner man. In the core of your being, you will stand even when in the flesh you are weak. Yea, inside you will stand up and be strong. For I will give my strength to your inward man. And as it is written, though the outward man perish, the inward man, the real you, saith the Lord, the eternal you, the one that I infuse my supernatural strength into, is renewed day by day. Therefore, take courage in your heart and hope and doubt not, for I am the Lord and I am here with you, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give Him praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Now, I can't do that for you and you can't do that for me. But if you don't do it, amen, it's going to put a strain on your life. If you're married, it's going to put a burden on your marriage. Can you say amen? It's going to put a burden on your spiritual life. Your spiritual life is going to suffer because your emotions are driving you. You're driven by your emotions. And I understand why there's people shooting up and drinking up tonight. Because if I didn't have the Lord, amen, I would probably be doing one of those behaviors in order to cope, amen. I don't have to get comfortably numb in order to face life with all of its setbacks and realities. All I have to do is cast my burden upon the Lord. The Bible said the day you do that, He will sustain you. Now, either He's a liar or it's on our part. We're not truly giving it to God. Amen. Sometimes you've got to carry it the very last step that you can and literally fall on your face under the load before you truly cry out and give it to God. But the day you give it to God, He said, I will sustain you. I love that word, cast your burden on the Lord, because it means to roll it over on another in the Hebrew. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. To roll it over on another. You got to have somebody near you to be able to do that. And the Bible said God is our refuge. God is our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And when Jesus left, He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Someone's going to be near you. Amen. So that you can do that. I will not leave you comfortless, but I will give you another comforter. He will be within you and He will be with you and He will abide with you forever. And that word comforter is the Greek word paraclete. It is not for the sick room. It is for the courtroom. It is one that stands in behalf of another. And literally and practically speaking, it is one called where? Alongside to help. God said, I'm going to shore you up with the Holy Spirit. And if you will cast your burden upon the Lord, He will strengthen you and sustain you. Can you say amen? Because He has been called alongside in order to help. Praise God. He dwells within you, but there's a ministry of the Spirit where you literally, amen, take hold of the power of God as He manifests Jesus to you. And He is so mighty and He is here tonight. God is here by virtue of the Holy Spirit being here with us. Can you say amen? I love you tonight. It's a Thanksgiving season and Jesus is the reason for that season, just like He's the reason for the Christmas season. Can you say amen? The reason we can be thankful. Listen, God said in everything. Now, I don't know if you're ready to do that tonight. I don't know what your problems are. I know I've lived a little bit longer than you and I've had more of them than you've had yet. I can claim more problems than you've had. You said, oh, your road hadn't been bumpy like mine. You should be in my shoes. Honey, I was in shoes that broke me. It took 10 years to get through nervous exhaustion. Have you been there yet? You may be in the middle of that. I got good news for you. Weeping lasts but for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So I don't have no little, you know, I had a little guy sitting on my desk and somebody bought me a little figurine and it was a Moses-like character, a prophet-like character, supposed to be Moses because he was holding the 10 tablets of the law. And it said on, and I had it facing when people come in for counseling, take 2 tablets and call me in the morning. Can you say amen? Oh, that it were that simple. Can you say amen? Oh, that it was that simple. What is simple about it is that God said, I'm alongside alongside you to help. Cast your burden on me. The hard part is doing that. Truly doing that. We wish He would take it. He will not take it. If you're waiting for God to take it, forget about it. You got it. He didn't say, I'm going to come and take this off of you. He said, I want you to cast this on me. And that means you've got to get close enough to God to roll it over on Him. He's already close enough for you to take it. You've got to get close enough to Him to give it to Him. You didn't hear me. He's already close enough for you that He'll receive it when you give it to Him. You've got to get close enough to Him that you trust Him with it enough to roll it over on Him. Can you say amen? But the day you roll it over on Him, the Bible said, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. He will not let you be defeated. Praise God. He will sustain you. And Paul said the lesson we learned when we were in despair of life itself is not to trust in ourselves. We admit immediately we can't take it and we can't make it without the Lord. We have to trust Him with it. And the day that we did, amen, amen, we realize He's the God that raises the dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Isn't He good tonight? Isn't it good to know that about Him? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray as we get ready to study the Word of God for just a little while tonight. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for being who You are in my life. I want to thank You, Lord, because I ain't no ways tired tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to thank You because You are my glory and the lifter of my head. Lord, when I can't lift it, You're the lifter of my head. And Father, I just want to have a ministry tonight to lift up the hands that hang down and to strengthen the feeble knee, lest anyone be turned out of the way. I pray that every person in this room that is under the pressures of life, Lord, we'll learn how to cast our burdens on the Lord, to roll them over on You tonight, because You stand ready to receive what we commit unto You. So help us to commit it tonight, Father, and to find the joy of the Lord to strengthen us and the peace of God to sustain us. And we'll give You the praise, for we ask it all in whose name? In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now here's the challenge tonight. The Bible said in everything. Amen. Everybody say in everything. Everything. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. And me. Give thanks. Everybody say give thanks. Not only give thanks in everything, but the Bible said giving thanks for everything. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's not giving thanks for the enemy's attack on you, but give thanks for the fact that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God has promised to raise up a standard. The Spirit of the Lord, who is very near every one of us, will raise up a standard against him. Aren't you thankful that God will take up the fight when you are threatened? Can you say amen? Are you thankful for that tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. In the time of great trouble, he's not just saying, thank God the devil's trying to destroy me, but thank God Jesus has promised to not suffer me to be tempted above that I'm able to bear. Hallelujah. Amen? I remember the story of Corrie ten Boom, and she said when she was in Robinsbrook concentration camp, there was an infestation of fleas, a terrible infestation of fleas and lice. And she said, laying there at night and feeling these creepy crawlies crawling on you and biting you, said it was just a terrible experience to be in that barrack. And she said, one night I was laying there, and I was thinking about the scripture and everything give thanks and for everything give thanks. And she said, you know, I don't know why. I don't know why God wanted me to give thanks for these fleas and these lice. He said, not only the other conditions are horrendous, but just to add to that burden. But you know something, as time went on, in the other barracks that didn't have this infestation as bad as they had, guards would come and take women out to rape them forcibly and ravage them. But they didn't come to their barracks. You know why they didn't come get none of the women out of that barracks? Because of the fleas and the lice that was in there. Are you listening to me? See, you may not understand the irritants in your life, why they're there and why God don't give you a life without them. But when they begin to see that God was still God in the midst of all of that, she said, I begin to thank God for the fleas and thank God for the lice. Hallelujah. Amen. God is still God and God is still good. Can you say amen? And whatever you're going through is going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better. And the choice is going to be yours tonight. Can you say amen? You're either going to thank God in spite of it all and praise His holy name, or you're going to get down in that deep, dark valley of depression and you're going to fall into despair and you're going to fall into defeat. And the choice is yours. You're not a victim of your circumstances. You're a victim of your choices. I want you to understand that tonight. No one in here is a victim of your circumstance. You're a victim of your own choices. My beloved brethren, count it. This is a choice. James chapter 1 is a choice. And everybody in here has to make that choice when the trials come. James chapter 1 said, my beloved brethren, count it all. That's everybody say, I've got a choice to make tonight. Can you say amen? Come on, this time to grow up. Meat belongs to men who are full age. This is not a milk night. We don't have a pacifier for you. We don't have a sugar teat. Can you say amen? We don't have some little milk toast sermon tonight to just sympathize with anybody or pity anybody in this room. We serve a great and a mighty God. Hallelujah. That says, I can grow you through these trials if you will choose to rejoice in spite of everything else. How consistently are we supposed to be thankful? And how often and how consistently should rejoicing be coming out of our mouth? Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And again I say, rejoice. Got to reiterate that because there's a whole lot of people quit rejoicing when things aren't smooth in their life. If you've got to have a smooth life, you've got to find another planet. Can you say amen? You need to get on the first ship out to the moon. Maybe you could get some peace on the moon. No, God wants to give you peace in the midst of the storm, not by taking away the storm. He may not. He has the option of calming your troubled sea or calming the storm inside of you. And most of the time, before anything changes without, God wants to address something within. God wants to grow us into a faith and a trust that He can speak peace within even when the storm rages without. Can you say amen? Because otherwise you're easily defeated and so am I. And the devil knows how to push my buttons and believe me, he knows how to push yours. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? The Bible said there are things you can't get away from. If you've got bills to pay, you can't just quit your job just because things don't go right. Can you say amen? You've got to face it. And guess what? You do face it. You can change churches like that if the pressure gets on at one. There's 10,000 other ones out there, literally to go to. You can move to another state. I used to think about it. I thought, I'm going to Chattanooga. Amen. I'm going to feed the fish. I'm going to go up there. I love that big aquarium in Chattanooga. You ever seen that freshwater aquarium? Freshwater, saltwater, I've seen the porpoises. But I've never seen catfish big as cows. Literally, there's some catfish, some rivers up there in Chattanooga. If y'all go near Chattanooga, go to the freshwater aquarium. Amen. The elevator will take you up and then you'll come winding down and you'll see fish from the Amazon, fish from the Rhine River in Germany, all freshwater. I didn't know freshwater fish grew that big. I'm telling you, there's some monsters in there. And I thought, I'd like to just, because when I have church problems, church pressures, family pressures, I'd like to move to Chattanooga. I don't, if God let me off the hook preaching and my family just leave me alone for a little while. Amen. I love you. I'll come see you at Christmas. It's somewhere to go. I'll come south for Christmas. Can you say amen? But I'm going to Chattanooga. I'd love to feed those fish. I'd just love to work, amen, up there in the big aquarium. That's what I'd love to do. Just go work in the aquarium. Witness to people when I can. Say, you see that fish? Something like that. Swallowed Jonah. Just find every occasion to witness. Just get away from my family when they get flaky. Amen. Get away from my, and I'm talking about the church family and not you guys though, because we're close. Everybody say we're close in here. Close in here. But there used to be more of us, wasn't there? Yes. Well, the more, they used to say the more the merrier. It ain't necessarily so. Because more means you get all different kinds of things. But anyway, God was good. I didn't run off, did I? See, it wasn't just a matter of not running off with the piano player. No offense. These are different days. You know, you got to. These are different days we're living in. Amen. Amen. Lisa's daughter, Lisa used to be our pianist for a little while. Lisa's daughter said, "You mean, you said if you'd run off with the piano player, you might run off with my mama." And I said, "Oh, I don't think so." But anyway, and not him either. Praise God. Amen. I didn't run off with the piano player, and I didn't run from trouble. But have I ever considered going to a more peaceable life? I remember one time I told my wife, I said, "Honey, if we could get an 8x30 travel trailer and put it in some little old park out here by 301 somewhere, out and, you know, just give me a little barbecue grill. Give me a 16-inch TV. Can you imagine?" Amen. I mean, you get to the place, you just want peace for a little while. Give me some beanie weenies. Pork and beans with the weenie. You know what I mean? Give me some beanie weenies and some bread and a glass of Kool-Aid in my little 16-inch TV and my little travel trailer. But if you'll just leave me alone. You know, did you know who else got that way? You know who else got that way? Jeremiah. He said, "You know what I wish?" Because he preached, and all he got for preaching is slapped around and rejected. And you know what he said? He said, "I wish I had me a house way out in the woods somewhere. I wish that I was so far out nobody even came by that house. I wish I was away from everything and everyone." And he got that way in a while because they put him down in the dungeon. Can you say amen? He got that way. "I'd just rather just go live simply. Where can I go to get away from it all?" Amen. Listen, you can't get away from it. You can't run from trouble. You can run to God when the trouble comes. Can you say amen? Well, I had a few weak amens and a few people. See, this thing is a whole lot easier to preach than it is to walk out in your life. Everybody knows how to preach this. We all know what the Bible says. Amen. 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 It's so easy to preach those scriptures, isn't it? It's another thing to, in everything, give thanks. It's another thing for everything to give thanks. It's another thing to bless the Lord continually. It's another thing to sustain that attitude of gratitude. But there is a spiritual, vital importance here. Unthankfulness will lead you, not just to discouragement, but it'll lead you to unbelief. Just keep on being unthankful. Get a complaining spirit. Get a self-pity because of what's happened to you. And I guarantee you the enemy will ride in because he's got an open avenue to depress you, defraud you of your rights in the kingdom of God, and defeat you. And I want you to listen to this. This is an important scripture. I'm just going to preach from my notes for a little while. Romans 1, 21 and 22. And it's talking about what we're actually seeing in our generation. It's a prophetic scripture in the sense of marking the end time with certain behaviors in a society. The behavior that's being addressed in Romans 1 and verse 18 through these verses and other verses is when there is kind of a rampant movement into homosexuality. And it happened in Rome. It happened to every nation that has ever become great at one time and fallen. This was the precursor of their fall. And it's because of a darkness that settles on the hearts of people who reject light. It signifies in America that we are a nation in decline. That spiritual darkness is settled in. No wonder the devil is fighting you and me. Because we are God's luminaries. Amen. In an ever-darkening world. Say it with me. We are God's luminaries. In an ever-darkening world. You pick up the paper, you read it every day. The world is getting darker. And the darker it gets in the world, the more significant, the more in contrast our light becomes. We become, without even trying, a city that is set on a hill which cannot be hid. And you know, it's not the daylight that brings the significance of a city on a hill. It's when it gets super dark. Amen. And people light all the fires in all of those windows of all of those homes in that urban area. Suddenly, that city can be seen for miles. You couldn't see it for miles in the daylight, but let it get pitch dark and you can see it for miles. Can you say amen? What did the Bible say would be happening in the last days? There's a scripture in Isaiah 60 that says this about that. Amen. It says, "Arise and shine, for thy light has come." But before that it says, "Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness shall cover the people." And when that happens, we have an opportunity not to get depressed and give up on revival and give up on souls being saved, but to stand up and stand tall for Christ. Amen. Arise and shine. Darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness will cover the people. Arise and shine, because your light has come. Amen. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee and shall be seen upon thee. Can you say amen? In another verse of scripture it says that you are and I am the light of the world, and no man lights a light and puts it under a bushel, but lifts it up that all in the house might see. And the Bible said the people, and to the people that sat in darkness, a great light has shined. And Jesus is the one that lighteth every man that comes into the world. We're to put on the armor of light, but a depressed, dejected, defeated church can't do that. Amen. And the devil knows it. He fears your shining. He fears your arising. In order to shine. Can you say amen? The Bible said, "Shake thyself from the dust, O captive daughter of Zion." Can you say amen? The church has to get free before anyone else can be set free. Revival doesn't begin with people coming in off the street and getting saved. The revival begins with us getting such a witness that we influence people on the street. They're not just going to drop in here. They come because we begin to affect them. Can you say amen? Amen. Billy Graham crusades, they don't just show up because a celebrity preacher's in town. People go across the street and tell their neighbor, "I'll come and pick you up. I'll take you home. I will be your host." They teach them to pray and intercede for a year before it comes to town and to pick people up and bring them. And the only reason your neighbor would like to go to church with you, amen, or go to hear an evangelist with you, is because they see something in you that they don't have. But if they see you affected just like they are, what good is your God? You're just a church person. What good is knowing your God, except maybe in eternity? They're not thinking about eternity. Listen, before you can approach them about eternal things, you've got to show them some good right here. That God can help you right here. They're blind to the eternal things, or they couldn't sleep at night until they got right with God. They get where the anointing is, there's a possibility those eyes can come open. But they have to see something that can help them right now. And that don't mean we don't preach the cross. We proclaim the cross. But we let them see the benefit of knowing God down in this fallen world is a mighty benefit. Amen. We're not like others who have no hope. Amen. Can you say amen? Do you understand why the battle rages? Because there's so many sitting in darkness, and we are God's luminaries. Listen to this. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." Now listen to this. This is key. This is key. This is crucial. "Neither were they thankful." Can you say amen? You want to open the door to the dark side? Just get a bad case of the poor old me's and quit being thankful. See yourself as a victim instead of see whatever you're going through as an opportunity to bring glory and honor to God. "My beloved brethren, count it all joy when you go through various temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire. In other words, don't, as one paraphrase said, don't always try to squirm out of your trouble. Amen. Thank you for the hearty amens. One amen. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you so much. I'm not even going to preach to you anymore. You've got it. I'm going to preach to everybody else tonight. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You get an A. Everybody else gets an F. I'm sorry. Amen. I'm just like Mike when I grade. I do not grade on a curve. If you can't cut it, you don't get the grade. Honey, this is something. This is a course you need to pass tonight. Amen. You know what the graduate course is in spiritual growth? Suffering. It's a graduate course. You have to pass it to graduate. And you say amen. And the Bible said what God wants to do through all these things that touch our life. Paul said after you have suffered for a while, He wants to strengthen, establish, and settle you according to the Scripture. Everybody say strengthen. How does He strengthen us? Because when the flesh suffers defeat and you find out that your only strength is in the Lord, then you look to God with a pure faith and God actually strengthens you. As Paul put it, that we learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Can you say amen? And from that point on, he said, why look upon us even when miracles were transpiring under their ministry? Why look unto us? That through our strength or might, these things are happening. Our sufficiency is of the Lord. Amen. We're not sufficient of ourselves. He will establish you. Amen. If you really take a stand on God's word and God's truth and put your trust in the Lord, you won't be driven by every wind and tossed by every wave that comes along in life. You will be established. You'll get up in the morning, give God praise anyhow. At times in your life, you'll raise your hands and praise Him because He is faithful. And when you don't even see any change in your life, amen, the changes are going to come when you commit your cares unto the Lord. When you give the burden to Him, He'll sustain you. You want Him to sustain you so you can be relieved of the burden. He said, you've got to do a great act of faith right here and now and give it to Me and praise Me. And the day you do, I will sustain you. And I'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. He'll establish you. Everybody said, He will establish me. Bible said He'll give you. How does He do it? He gives you beauty for ashes. He don't need everything to be. It's too late, Lord. It's too late. The house is done burned down. And you just showed up. If you'd have got here before it burned down, we might have saved something. But now it's nothing but ashes. He said, it doesn't make any difference to Me. I don't need a foundation to build on. Can you say, man, I don't need any walls. I didn't just come to repair a roof. I come to do something new and something powerful. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. I'll give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the what? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and you will be called the trees of God, the planted, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. I will strengthen you and I will establish you after you've suffered for a while. When Paul taught, he said, I want to leave something with you, a legacy. He said, I taught everything that I taught to, and I have a purpose in it. And this is the end to which the Spirit of God sent me to you to teach you. To this end, that you might be established. That word established in the Greek means to turn resolutely in a right direction. You know what it's like? It's like the Spanish conquistadors that came to the shores of America. And they were so committed to taking what... They didn't know what they were going to face. They didn't know how many were going to come out against them and how well armed they might be. But when they got to the shores of America, they literally, some of them, burned their ships and said, until reinforcements come or food comes from Spain, we are taking our stand. One thing is for sure, going back is not an option. When you get established, going back is not an option. I've heard of people being saved 15, 20 years, getting a bitter spirit and turning back on God and trying to find in the world what they know in their heart of hearts can only be found in Jesus Christ. I've seen marriages that were committed in love before God. I've seen them break down under pressure because we all have breaking points. Can you say amen? Well, God says, you know, when that pressure's on, I want to crystallize your faith. I want you to get into a place where I can establish, strengthen, and then there's a third word used, settle you. settle you. Oh, it's so good to come to a place when you burn the bridges back. I remember Chuck Swindoll, who's had a tremendous ministry, and he was reaching thousands of people, and I don't know what his doctrine is these days. I just know that he come through a lot of fire. But I remember one of the films we watched at the Holy Church of God for Families was Strike the Original Match. And it was the story of the pressure on their marriage and their home. In their early ministry, in their early years as Christians. And the pressure was very intense on their marriage and on their married life. And somehow or another, Chuck and his wife just couldn't work it out. And she was ready to bail out of the marriage. She said, I can't take anymore. I'm ready to bail out. And they told their story. They were very forthright and candid and open. And I appreciate that in ministry when they tell us how to get through trials because they've been through them themselves. Everybody thinks that Prince Charming, amen, goes over and kisses Sleeping Beauty, and they get on his white steed and they ride off to the condominium. Can you say amen? Down in Trump Towers. That's the equivalent of roughly the equivalent of a castle. Amen. And they do what? What do they always do in the fairy tales? Now, you may be Prince Charming. And you may think the gal you've got is Snow White herself. But I'm going to tell you, amen. See, this kind of works in reverse in real life. Instead of kissing, wearing the frog and him turning him into a prince, usually we marry the prince and he turns into a frog. Or at least that's what my wife says. Anyway, moving right along. God is good tonight. Life don't work that way. Real life doesn't work that way. So Chuck Swindoll's wife had her emotions and her devotion came into conflict. She wanted to get away. What do? You run. You bail. You go. You bail. We got it in Christian leadership right now. What do? When it really gets tough, you bail out. Do we have God's permission? No. Are we going to get His permission? No. Can we argue our case biblically? No. So she had to make a choice. Amazing thing was, she was to the point of exasperation emotionally. It was affecting them spiritually. Maritally, there was nothing left. The love that once burned bright, she said, was now gone. That's why the name of this film was Strike the Original Match. That means renew the first love. And she said, you know something? I said, God, I can't take any more. But divorce is not an option. Now where do you go? You just got to go to God. And when you come to that place, all of heaven's, of God's will, instead of just running from things and trusting God, then is when it kicks in. That's when all heaven lines up behind you. I tell so many people, if you'll make the commitment to follow God, He'll deliver you of everything that's in the way of that. But He can't deliver you from any of that until you make the commitment. And when people don't make commitments down here, they can't follow through. Can you say, man, heaven lines, he will not supersede anybody's will. Somebody said, oh, I want God to take this habit from me. When God takes it from me, I'll give it up. God is not going to take anything from you. But everything you commit to Him, Paul said, he is able to keep everything that I commit to Him. Can you say, man, everything I commit is in His keeping. Amen. Listen, as many as received Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He the power to become what you could never become any other way except He granted through grace. And amen, amen. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become woo-hoo, the sons of Almighty God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You can't do that. You can't earn that. You can't merit that. But when you commit yourself to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, He gives you that right and that privilege. Amen. He strengthens you. The moment Chuck Swindoll's wife said, I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know where this is going to go, but I know one thing. I'm not bailing out. Then the grace came, the strength came, the wisdom came, the peace came. Amen. When Jesus in the garden said, not my will, but thine be done, what happened? What happened? What does anybody know what happened? Angels came. Everybody say heaven's resources. Honey, what? You say, I can't take anymore. Well, hey, I can't either. But what can you do through Christ who strengthens you? What happens when He infuses His strength into you? I can what? You get an A+ and a star by your name. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And all us Pentecostals thinking about the gifts of the Spirit, laying hands on people and having people give us a hand for being so spiritual. That is not what Paul was addressing. He's addressing the nitty gritty trials, tests, persecutions, attacks of the enemy. And the literal Greek would read this way: I am equal to anything. Amen. That's the more than conqueror attitude. He said we're weak in our flesh, but though we are in the flesh, we cannot deny that we have weak flesh. We do not war after the flesh. We do not depend on the flesh to win any of these battles. Amen. Though we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons, somebody needs to get well armed to win this battle tonight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise tonight. There's victory in Jesus Christ, but there's only victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. When the change came in her, and by the way, when you're in a situation like that in your marriage, most prayers are, God, change him. Lord, change her. I would be fine if you would just change her. She's why I'm like I am. No, she's not. Your weak flesh is why you like you am. Yeah, your weak flesh. Oh, if life would just be perfect. Hey, friend of mine, come on. Wake up, newsflash. In this world. How many are still here? You shall have promise from God that doesn't have to be claimed by faith. I mean, no, this promise does not have to be claimed by faith. You don't have to get up and confess, I'm going to have tribulation to have it. Thelpsis, say it with me, Thelpsis. Everybody say anguish. If it ain't bad enough to bring you anguish, it's not what he's talking about. It's not a bad hair day when you're supposed to go to church that morning. Amen. That's not what it is. Brother Spain, evangelist hair. He had wonderful evangelist hair. He used that can of Aquanet, the big jumbo size. I mean, rest of us bringing canteens. Rest of us are bringing, all these different things we need out in the woods. And he brought this big, big thing of Aquanet. But you know what happens when you put that stuff on and all the dust when you get out in the boonies settles on your hair? Amen. And then you sleep on it on the ground that night in a sleeping bag. And you get up the next morning and it's your turn to preach and hold the Bible study. And he looked like an airplane because all of this that was swept back was now standing out. And he water was limited. We didn't use bathing. We went and bathed in the river later on. We had to use our water for drinking. So he put a comb through it. And guess what? He stood right back up. Then he went. He tried to get enough saliva. But then it's almost time to go out and preach. And, you know, your mouth gets kind of dry and you can't make no more spit to put on it. He got the wings to come from here to here. And believe me, we got lessons in humility in Haiti. Amen. Best thing to do, just take scissors and clip those two wings. I didn't tell him that. That was not an option. We didn't have scissors anyway. God works when we make commitments. God lifts burdens when we commit things to Him. He doesn't take anything from anyone. Someone said, God's been giving me the strength. I'll give up this. I'll give up that. No, 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 that's not how it works. You commit to give it up. You'll receive the strength to do it. God will shake hell and send you help from heaven. Whatever it takes, God will deliver you from dope. God will deliver you from sexual sin. God will deliver you from anger. Amen. Don't give me this I'm Irish stuff. Can you say amen? You got a new family tree. How many know you got a new family tree? You can't say, well, I had a lady tell me in church one time my daddy was an alcoholic. It's in my genes because she'd been stopping and drinking every day after work. Amen. It's in my genes. I said, no, it ain't. It might have been in your genes, but the day you came to Jesus, you got new genes. His seed, His seed, His seed, His seed has counteracted and overridden the old seed. Can you say amen? His seed, say it with me, His seed. Glory to God. If you're a Christian tonight, His seed remaineth in you. That you sin not. You're in a new family, praise God. And royal blood courses through your veins. You've been regenerated by the Holy Ghost. So you can't cop out and say, I got my daddy's genes. You might have your mama's fat cells. You ain't got your daddy's genes. Or your daddy's, whoever. I'm fighting a gene pool right now just to get into my clothes. Because if I eat everything I want, I can't get in them. Because my family, I inherited it. All my family look like bowling pins when we get together. We're pear-shaped. We're round, short and round. My cousins are all round and short. Sweet as they can be. But I in order for me not... I can't do nothing about being short. I can't grow taller, but I try to, keep it under control just a little bit. Because I can't afford new suits. But anyway, every time they get tired, I say, no more pie tonight. Maybe tomorrow night when I feel leaner. You were of your father, the devil. His works you did, but you're not of him anymore. You've been translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. When you commit to submit to that kingdom, all of the power of that kingdom comes into play in your life. And I am equal to anything, Paul said, through Christ who infuses strength into my inward man. Everybody say who infuses his strength. Into my inward man. He said, so when he does that, amen, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In fact, he said, it's no more I that live. It's Christ that liveth in me. Amen. I've been working 12 hours a day. And I'm almost 62. And I'm going to tell you something about 12-hour shifts. You don't have to be 62 to feel it. You'll feel it at 32 because there's a young lady I trained and she's 29. And when I trained her, she was about 26. And she told me, she said, Rev, she said last night, she said, Rev, if they fire me, I am going home. I am not asking permission. I can't stand anymore because they usually come and tell us we got a stage till it's done because they've cut the other crew till there's not enough to run it. So she said, I'm sorry, Rev, I got to leave. I said, bye. After 4 hours, the guy I'm working directly under, the operator says, Rev, I went and told him, I can't stay. I'm getting sick. I got to go home. I got a cold and I'm wore out and I'm going home to get some rest. And he left. Well, now there's me and the other shift, which is two people. Two people. They come in. And everybody's gone but me. And I'm thinking, and you'll love this. And one of the people is a guy that I had serious issues with. I mean, he got my goat. How many know the devil knows where your goat is tied? He got my goat. And I had to stand up nose to nose with him. And that's not easy for a short guy like me. But I had to stand up and stand my ground. And there's a right and wrong. And I stood up and we got an understanding. And I thought, dear Lord. And one of the people here, it's hard to have compassion on somebody who's been ugly to you. And when you're tired and wore out and everybody else is bailed out. And then I got to thinking about what would Jesus do? See, it didn't just say pray for your enemies. That'd be so simple. Lord bless them or whatever you... You know what it said? Do good to them that despitefully use you. And you want to conquer your flesh? You want to talk about living the spiritual life? It ain't how much you talk in tongues. It ain't whether or not you can give a message or preach under the anointing. And I'm thinking, what would Jesus do? Well, I knew what he would do. And I knew what he told me to do. There's no doubt in my mind that I was supposed to do good to those people. And not treat... The Bible said to do unto others before they do unto you. No. F again. F minus. Is there such a thing as an F minus? Do unto others as you would have them. Not as they're... They did unto you or they will do unto you in the future, but do unto others as you would have them. If I was in that situation with no help and this overwhelming, would I want somebody to help me out? Yes, I would. Well, Jesus says, do it unto them. But Lord, they wouldn't do it for me. He said, I didn't say whether they'd do it for you or not. I told you to be different. You're the child of your father and you got a new daddy. They're the child of their father. They ain't got a new daddy. And to compound it, there are some people that are supposed to be child of our father that'll despitefully do things. Weak Christians that give into the flesh will hurt you, harm you, be as ugly. I've met people that wasn't Christian. It was better to me than some people that were. We're getting amens. They're coming slowly, but they're coming. I have. The devil knows how to hit you. Your enemies shall be they of your own households, not just your immediate family. It's talking about your Christian family as well. A weak brother can hurt me worse than any heathen out in this world. Can you say, man, a weak sister can hurt me worse. It can break my heart. Other people make me angry and I have to get over it, but they break my heart. And the devil loves us to be broken. He wants that light under a bushel. He wants that thankfulness. One thing that the world, neither were they thankful. Neither were they thankful. Neither were they thankful. But became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. But it all began when they knew God. They were not grateful and thankful. Did it say thankful here? That must be pretty crucial. Jesus heals 10 lepers. He says, something's supposed to be happening here called thankfulness. One came back. Where are the other nine? In everything give. So I thought, if no one has come and they're too tired, the place is too crazy, they're not thinking straight, they can't get bottles with just two people. If I tell them I'm going to stay, I'm stuck till they're done. I'm wore out. I got church tomorrow. I need to study. I need to pray. I need to sleep. I need some rest. Everybody in the whole building at this point is younger than me. And they're bailing out. And they didn't catch us and tell us not to leave. In fact, I got a call early this morning from a 29-year-old lady that left. I got a call getting ready for church. And she said, Rev, did they come looking for me last night? Last night she didn't care if she lost her job. All of a sudden today she won't know if they come looking for her. You know why they didn't come looking for her? Because I stayed. And as long as they got bottles to fill, they don't care who's over there. You know, just so there's somebody over there. But believe me, if they didn't get bottles, they'd come looking for everybody. They sharpened their pencil to write us up for leaving without asking permission. But nobody got written up because I did what Jesus would do. And I felt shaky on my legs. And I thought, well, if I fall down, I'll go home. My legs were literally wobbling with fatigue. I've got a peanut butter sandwich, stuck it in my pocket. And I'd reach in and pull out that protein. You're not supposed to take any food in there. I thought, if they want these bottles, they're going to have to deal with it. Besides, I wear a beard muff. And it sits right here. And if you pull it up right here, you can just chew on that peanut butter. You can chew on that peanut butter sandwich and nobody even knows. And I told him I'll stay. and help you. And they said, thank you, Rev. And I stayed for 3 more hours, and they were long, hard hours. But the moment I said, I'll stay, I felt the strength. It came. I don't believe I look, and maybe I look worse than I feel, but I don't believe I look like a man who's give completely out, who worked 12 hours all week long, and here I am tonight. Amen. I don't believe I look like that. I don't believe I sound like that. I don't feel like that. I got to go home tonight and rest my body. God didn't design me to be Superman in any sense of the word. I want you to know when I committed to do what I knew God would have me to do, God strengthened me to do it. Wow. And I felt kind of good after that. I said, here I am, the oldest guy in the building tonight. Amen. And I'm feeling strength. Where's it coming from? I committed to do the right thing. And then on top of that, the guy that I had such a problem with, amen, he began to be so kind to me and so sweet to me and so considerate to me. I mean, he tried me sorely. Amen. He got my goat. Everybody's got one. Don't look at me like that. I know you got one. I told him I was sorry, and I was sorry. And I didn't curse him nor hit him, and I'm glad I didn't. He's younger and stronger than me. I got one. I told somebody the other day, I got one good fight left in me. One. Probably one. Amen. And I want to use all that for the devil. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me tonight. Amen. Strength came to me. Amen. I felt refreshed when I made the commitment to do what I knew was right before the Lord. I felt refreshed, and it began to do something. These people that we had this adversarial relationship with, I had forgiven him. Amen. But it's like it wasn't complete until I did good to someone who did evil to me. And I felt the love of God for people that didn't deserve it no more than you or I when He loved us into salvation. And I wanted to help and do my best. Amen. And after 3 more hours, you know, I was able to walk out of that place without wobbly legs. And I felt good in my soul. Amen. I was telling my wife about it this morning before we came in while we were having, she was having tea, I was having coffee. You got her own tea. She's going to be a British gal yet. Can you say amen? And I'm having my coffee. She's having a spot of tea. And I started telling her about that, and I felt the love of God come on me. I felt the love of God flow. Tears begin to come down my cheeks, and I wanted to hug the guy that I wanted to do other things to. Amen? I didn't, but I wanted to. That's called overcoming temptation. Amen. And it just may be that maybe somehow another seed was sown that somebody's going to water and somebody's going to come to Jesus, because the people that sat in darkness are seeing light. Can you say amen? They're seeing light. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. We can get accustomed to blessings. Someone said, I felt for a long time that one of the particular temptations of the maturing Christian is the danger of getting accustomed to his blessings. Like the world traveler who's been everywhere and seen everything, the maturing Christian is in danger of taking his blessings for granted. Notice he said the maturing Christian, because the brand new Christian with the first love is not the one in danger of that. It's you that have been in the way for a while. It's me. Christ died for us on the cross. Now that's a given. We understand that. We appreciate it. But it's just, you know, that's what happened. To the person who's brand new in the faith, wow. Everybody say wow. Wow. Remember when Jimmy Swaggart sang the song Jesus? Just the mention of his name. Can you say, man? Remember when your heart used to leap at the mention? You were so grateful for a Savior that would die in your place and save you from a devil's hell. Amen. You so appreciated that grace. Nothing was old hat. Amen. If the church would just get excited and thankful about being saved again. Not waiting for a great healing revival or a great prophetic movement, but the very fact that we are saved sitting here tonight. Not waiting for something new, something that... Oh, there's nothing greater than salvation. There's nothing, no miracle's greater than the saving of the human soul that's destined to live eternally somewhere. Every other miracle is temporal. This one's eternal. Amen. We have eternal life. Church ever got excited about being saved? You went to church, you went to work excited about being saved. But see, when you've been in the way for a while, that's a given. You start losing the gratefulness, the thankfulness. All that's in you doesn't bless the Lord. Just some of it. Amen. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless His holy name, and forget not His benefits." Keep feeding that enthusiasm by remembering that He forgives all of your iniquity. It starts with forgiveness. Hallelujah. That's top of the list. Everybody say top of the list. Emerson said if the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to behold them. But they're there every night and we don't notice them anymore. We've seen the stars so often we didn't bother to look at them anymore. We've grown accustomed to our blessings. I remember when I went back to my wife's hometown in Lynch, Kentucky. I was born in Middlesboro, Kentucky. We left Middlesboro headed to Lynch, and it looked like someone took a bulldozer, turned a snake loose, and followed him. There was no straight. The whole trip was like this. One curve, another curve, another curve, another curve. But it was through the mountains, just mountains. And my wife just sat, and she lived there till she was, 13, and came here. And she was looking at the mountains. And when we got to her hometown, it's settled right in a valley and mountains on a big black mountain on one side. She's looking at those mountains and she said, all those years, it's just where I lived. But said, coming back, these mountains, they're majestic, they're beautiful, they're wonderful. But when you live there all your life, it's no big deal. People born and live on the ocean down in Malibu, they like it. But it's not like some city slicker from New York City when they go to Hawaii or somewhere and they look at that ocean and say, "Wow, look at that." Christians were never to lose the wow factor about being saved. We were never supposed to lose it. If the church didn't lose that, people would see our enthusiasm. They'd see our joy, our glee, our gratefulness, our thankfulness. Amen? Amen? Amen. But if they just see us as churchgoers. They go to church, we don't. That's the big difference. One of the evidence we've grown accustomed to our blessing is the spirit of criticism and complaining. Instead of thanking God for what we have, we complain about it and tell Him we wish we had something else. You can be sure if God did give us what we asked for, we would eventually complain about that. The person who has got accustomed to His blessing can never be satisfied. I want you to listen to this as I close tonight, because I want to stay thankful. It's hard. I have to fight the flesh on this issue, but it's worth it. You commit to do the right thing. You commit to give God glory. God will strengthen you. You commit your cares to Him. He will strengthen you. Can you say amen? You commit to love your enemy. God will strengthen you to love your enemy. In Budapest, a man goes to the rabbi and complains. This is out in the rural area where they raise the livestock. "Life is unbearable. There is 9 of us living in one room. What can I do?" The rabbi answers, "You're going to have to follow my instructions explicitly. You're going to have to do exactly what I say if you want relief." The man says, "I'll do anything." He said, "Take your goat into the room with you." The man is incredulous, but the rabbi insists, "Do as I say and come back in 1 week." A week later, the man comes back looking more distraught than before. "We cannot stand it," he tells the rabbi. "The goat is filthy." The rabbi tells him, "The whole house smells like the goat." The rabbi then tells him, "Go home and let the goat out and come back to me in 1 week." 1 week later, a radiant man returns to the rabbi, exclaiming, "Rabbi, Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of it. Now that there's no goat, only the nine of us. What would it take to make you thankful? What's it going to take to make us thankful for what we have and where we are? No matter where you are, you have God. And He says, I'm here. I love you. I care for you. I want you to roll your burden upon me. I want you to commit all the people that bug you to me. T-shirt I wish I had. I wanted to buy it off the guy that was wearing it. Had a picture of a huge green bullfrog on it. And said, I wish I was a bullfrog. Then I could eat what bugs me. Amen. I thought it was pretty neat. Wouldn't it be great to just get rid of what bugs you? You can't run from trouble. You can run to God. You can make commitments to do the right thing even though your flesh can't take anymore. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. When I commit to do His will, He infuses inward strength into me. When I commit to love an enemy and do good to him, He infuses His love into me. Can you say, man? When I commit my care to Him, He gives me peace that passes understanding. But all of this involves a commitment. It involves a choice. Beloved brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How can you do that? I love what John F. Kennedy, after many visits for diplomacy to China during the pressure of the Cold War with Russia, during the crisis in the Cuban Missile Crisis, where we were actually threatened with the possibility of an event near our shore leading to an escalation and maybe into a nuclear exchange. That was the concern. You can see documentaries on that. We got real close to World War III. Amen. Right out here off the tip of Florida. 90 miles. They wanted to put a missile blast 90 miles from our homeland. And we had ships ready. And if they kept coming with the missiles, they were going to sink those ships. They were not going to allow a base to be built. And they were in communication to the last minute. We didn't know how close we came to getting into a real fight, a real world war with Soviet Russia. And one of the things, but it was also an opportunity to establish boundaries, start establishing diplomacy and communication with our enemy. And what Mr. Kennedy said was this. He said the Chinese character for crisis, when you draw that character, it means danger, because there is a crisis, there's a crossroad. And it means opportunity simultaneously. Danger and opportunity. The Christians felt the danger because they were having to run from their lives from their persecutors. But they had the opportunity to grow in their faith and to trust God and to demonstrate, amen, that having a God makes a difference when the pressure is on. Amen. So they had the opportunity to make a choice and count it joy, or to get depressed and throw in the towel. They had an opportunity to display a victory that wasn't based on circumstances, but based on God's promise to never leave them or forsake them, no matter what befell them, and to give them peace that passes understanding and strength, amen, that was able to meet whatever they were facing. And He did that, or there would be no gospel here today. Didn't He do it? That church was not stamped out by the terrible persecution they were going through. In fact, it became stronger. In fact, it became a witness through that. Can you say amen? Because God strengthened them, established them, and settled them. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And they were ready not only to stand the test, but to lay down their very life for the gospel. And many of them were called on to do it, and they did it, praise God. And we have a gospel today because they counted it joy. Amen. And we're strengthened to stand. We're looking for a message that solves all our problems, takes away all our pressures, so we don't have to make the choice to commit. That is not the message of Scripture. You commit yourself to trust God no matter what. You commit yourself to His will no matter what. And when you do, the strength comes, the peace comes, the grace comes, the power comes. I don't feel like a man that's worked 60 some hours. I will tomorrow. Tonight, I'm doing His will, and He's infusing strength into me. tomorrow when I get up, I'm going to look in the mirror and an old man is going to look back at me and say, why don't you call in? No, God is going to strengthen me for tomorrow. Hallelujah. And I'm I've been growing you for this day and for this hour. I have been fashioning you for a time such as this, saith the Lord. This is the time for my light to shine in the darkness. This is the time for my people to be thankful unto me and to give me thanks. For I have promised I would never leave you. And I am here tonight to keep my promise, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Brother, would you come? How about number 8? Number 8. Did I give you anything to put number 8 on? Did I? I didn't. All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't even know if that's right. It isn't right. Praise God. Did I give you anything? I didn't. All right. You got it now. Don't go to number 8 though. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to go to number 5. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Are you ready to do this tonight? You're going to do it or you're going to get darkened in your soul. God don't want you dark in your soul. God don't want you defeated. God don't want everybody that you told Jesus was the answer to begin to question that. God wants to validate it. I said, God wants to validate it. How do Christians react when they have problems like the world? How do Christians react when they have great trouble? What do Christians do? What makes a difference having God Almighty in your life? The world is looking on. God wants to show them what a difference it is. He wants the peace and the power and the grace and the love to flow to us and through us that He promised that was available. My grace is sufficient for you. Can you say amen? Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Say be of good cheer. Who said that? Is that your preacher trying to hype you up? Or did Christ say that? Jesus said that? You think we might ought to start listening to Him? You say, Brother Bumble, I don't feel like being cheerful. This ain't about what you feel like. This is about who's going to be the Lord over your life. Can you say amen? Your weak flesh or your mighty God? I'd rather my mighty God take control. How about you? Praise God. Will you stand to your feet? Let's give Him praise tonight. This is Thanksgiving season. Is that clock slow? Is the battery stopped? Or am I done? Is it right? Anybody got a... It is right. I felt like I must have preached for an hour and a half. Hallelujah. I think God turned that thing back to get this message finished tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just hope when I go to work tomorrow, He spins that one forward. God is good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift Him up in one song tonight. Let me ask you a question just before the song comes. How many people in this room will recommit yourself to become totally obedient to Christ with His help to do it in His grace? How many want to commit to that tonight? How many want your marriage to outlast the storm? How many want your life to show forth the grace of God and the glory of Jesus in spite of everything else? Can you say amen? How many want to grow through your trial? Yes. How many want to glow through it? Amen. Draw attention to the fact that God makes a difference in you and God makes a difference in your life. Can you say amen? How many want heaven's help to overcome? Commit yourself to obey God in spite of the... Give Him thanks. Hallelujah. Amen. Only turkeys don't give thanks. Say it with me. Only turkeys don't give thanks. Hallelujah. Let's lift Him up tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In every nation, in every tongue, God is listening to hear the voice of thanksgiving tonight for all that He has done unto us. David said, what shall I render? What shall I render to God for all of His benefits?